Well, welcome to Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the most important thing today.
What?
Other people are more involved in wanting to know about outcomes of football games, I guess. So, Joshua 24 is where we'll start. Last weekend, I did the seminar and Joshua judges Ruth, and Ruth was found not guilty. Thank you. Joshua 24. And at the end of the book, we read in verse 14, 24:14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, which is on the other side of the Euphrates, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. And this teaching is entitled, The Choices We Make. And so Joshua is laying it out to all the children of Israel. They're in the promised land. They've conquered 31 nations. It's getting near his death. And he's laying it out. Who are you going to serve? If it seems evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because you're going to have to serve somebody. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he laid the thing straight out and said, you have a choice. Continue to serve the gods that kept you in captivity, that couldn't stop us from going in and taking their land, or the God who took care of us when we left Egypt, through the Red Sea crossing, through the 40 years in the wilderness, where all these people were born, and all the other things. You choose, because life has choices and consequences. So we go to Romans chapter 10. Hold something, Joshua, in case you can't find it. We're coming right back. Well, I don't know if it'll be right back, but shortly. But in Romans 10, we'll look at a choice, a major choice. And you can hold something in Romans 10, because we'll be coming back to here also eventually. So, Romans 10, verse 9. That if is conditional. Here's a choice. You can or cannot do this in Romans 10, 9. If you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and if you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you are saved, then you are delivered, then you will not have to go through the wrath period. So, here's the choice. But if you make Jesus Lord, the question then is, will you keep him Lord? And that's the key of how we live every day. Are we going back to serving the gods before we made Jesus Lord? Or who's Lord today? Have we continued to and sought the one true God and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and served him? All right, let's go back to Joshua 24 and read the people's response. Because when it comes to us, we have a choice. And if we made him Lord, we should keep him Lord. So we need to get rid of anything that stands in the way of serving the one true God. Joshua 24 and verse 21. We read, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord. God A, God B, C, D, and E. True God, you have chosen to serve the Lord. You made that choice to serve him. And they said, yep, we said it, we're witnesses. Now he said, okay, put away then the strange gods which are among you. Oh, they kept those gods with them. They had them there. So they needed to get rid of them. And instead, incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. And he set there a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. The oak symbolizes the presence of God that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So he said, okay, you guys are witnessing this. So he writes it down in front of them. Then he has this huge rock, puts it under a huge tree, an oak tree, which symbolizes God, and says, when you see that rock, verse 27, Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So when you see that stone, it's to remind you, you made a commitment. You definitely said, I will serve the true God and not any of the false gods that are out there. Our witness today is speaking in tongues. We don't carry a giant rock around with us. So, but anytime we speak in tongues, we prove we made Jesus as Lord, that we made that choice, and that we want to serve the one true God. Our commitment to serve God, then, because that's what we have done, and we prove it by speaking in tongues, our commitment to serve God releases God's blessings on your life. That's pretty good. Go to Matthew 6. We're done with Joshua. Matthew 6. One verse. So, we have committed ourselves to the one true God. We've made Jesus Christ Lord. We're now part of the family of God. And God then is a great, loving, caring Father who wants you to be blessed in this day and time and hour. So Matthew 6:33 sums it up this way. But seek ye first jello shots. No. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And from the context, it's everything that's needed, you know, food, drink, transportation, clothing, lots of shoes, you know, all the things that
jello shots.
Yeah, exactly. Jello shots, yeah, all the things you need to enjoy this life. But the key to it, so that you can have God's blessings on your life, is to serve the one true God, is to seek him first. And it'll be a great, no wonderful, no prosperous life. Not necessarily an easy life, but we'll check through that in a moment. We need to hold on to that commitment and enjoy our spiritual inheritance. Excuse me. We need to hold on to that commitment, enjoy a spiritual inheritance provided by God through Jesus Christ. And you have Ephesians 1 of the Working Translations. So let's read that. When we make him Lord, we get an inheritance. Now, when we have an inheritance now, and we get an even better inheritance when Christ comes back. But in Ephesians 1, verse 9, he has made known to us. I like reading that God has made known to us. You know, it's not a secret. God makes things known so we can worship him properly. He has made known to us the mystery of his will in accordance with his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in him, in Christ, so that in the administration of the fullness of the times, he might bring all things together under one head in the Christ. That is, the things in heaven and the things upon the earth in him, in the Christ. In him, the Christ, we were also chosen. We were chosen in the Christ, which was determined beforehand in accordance with the purpose of him who works all things, according to the deliberation of his own will, that we who previously hoped in the Christ should be unto the praise of his glory. In the Christ, you also, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment. It's the token of our inheritance. So when you speak in tongues, you've got a down payment of a complete inheritance that will come when the redemption of the acquisition, when Christ comes back and gets us out of here, unto the praise of his glory. And that's what we get to do today. We get to praise him. We get to praise him. Look at Deuteronomy 30. So we have an inheritance. Meanwhile, we can praise him. That's part of what we can do here. We can praise God. Because God likes a good party. He just wants to be invited. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. Oh, man, we can't have God here. Jeez. No, we can. It'll be much more enjoyable with greater blessings. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. If, again, conditional, he's talking to the children of Israel and giving them the good and the bad if they continue to, in our case, keep Jesus Lord, in their case, keep God first in his commandments. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments, to keep his statutes, which are, by the way, written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's written in the book, they read it to them, they understand it, to make sure they understand it. It's not far off, it's not hidden. God is mysterious and he works in mysterious ways. Well, a mysterious God wouldn't give you a 3,000-page manual. Sorry, he doesn't work in mysterious ways. He's pretty clear. Verse 12 tells us, it's not in heaven that we should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it so we can do it? Oh, no. But the word is very near unto you, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Why? That thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And then I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That's the good side. But, I hate to see this, but if thy heart turn away from the true God, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, enticed, drawn away, and you start worshiping other gods, you start serving other gods, if you make other things more important than the one true God, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou possess it over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, your choice, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. You know, today, if we choose the Lord Jesus Christ, if we make that decision that we can live a more than abundant life, that's what's available. Not just, you know, Monday morning life, but life in all of its manifestations, a more abundant life. If we choose that life, we keep Christ at the center of it, we do what God wants, and we enjoy the day. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. So if you want to really enjoy the promised land, he's telling them, choose God in his ways, not the false gods, and worship of them. Things won't go very well. And they didn't. Take Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You will definitely understand that bigger. But go back to Romans, chapter 10, as a matter of fact. We'll start in verse 4 this time, because I want to look at the context of this choice. Because that was Old Testament. And it's amazing that some of the Old Testament gets rewritten in the New Testament. Imagine that. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness of the law. They had to do the law to be made righteous. Today we have to believe in Christ to be made righteous. That the man which doeth these things shall live by them. You want to live under the Ten Commandments? Go ahead and all the commandments of the law. Nobody could do it. You want to do it? God bless you. Verse 6 is a big but here, though. But the righteousness which is of faith, which is the righteousness of the right way of believing, speaks this manner and this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the abyss, into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Well, what is it? The justness from believing, the righteousness from believing. That's the end. But what says righteousness and justness for us today? The word is near, even in your mouth, even in your heart. That is the word of faith, the word of the right way of believing, what you really need to hear, what you really need to believe, which we're preaching, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to have the salvation that you seek. You're going to be saved from the wrath to come. You're going to receive a Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll have the ability to manifest a more abundant life. But who wants all of that?
Sign me up.
Exactly. Look at Psalm 37. Lots of great and wonderful things come when we choose to serve the one true God. Psalm 37. When we keep God first. We'll start in Psalm 37 with verse 3. Psalm 37:3 says, "Trust in this Lord, and then do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Like that. You know, basically you'll enjoy safe pasture when you befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness, trusting in the Lord, and you will be fed. You'll enjoy safe pasture. You can dwell in the land. Delight yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then the Lord will give thee the desires of your heart. Kind of like that. Again, God's not saying, you know, serve me, I'm the king, and tax us to death. No. He's saying, look what I will do for you. If you delight, if you trust, I will give you the desires of your heart. Where are the desires of your heart? They're available from God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit. That's a heart issue. Trust also in him, and he shall bring the desires of your heart to pass. He will go to work acting on your behalf. That's a good thing. And he shall bring forth your righteousness. Like the dawn is how the text reads. He shall bring forth your righteousness like the dawn and the justice of your cause. That's good. You know, our cause is just. God will be fed, will be taken care of, will have many things. Verse 7, here's something that we could use. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Be still in the Lord. And wait patiently. I knew it had to be a catch. This patiently thing. And wait patiently for him. Fret not. That's a good one. Stop fretting. Be still in the Lord. Wait patiently on him. Stop fretting. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. You know, him who carries out their wicked schemes. Rest in the Lord. Be still in the Lord. No. God has a hand in it, and he'll take care of us. The end result is a new spiritual body. Go to Matthew 11. The end result is, you know, eternal life with God and the Son, Jesus Christ, and all the saints. That's the final of the finals for us. Matthew 11 kind of sums everything up real quick in three verses here. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the choice. Come unto me, keeping him Lord. We all labor. We all have heavy ladens. But God, through Christ's accomplished work, will give us rest. Take my yoke. Acknowledge my calling for you. Do what it is I ask of you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And the result of that is you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy or kind, and my burden is light. You talk to people sometimes and, oh my God, I don't want that burden. No, the burden of God in Christ in you is light. It doesn't need to be heavy. It isn't going to weigh us down and burden us. That's what religion teaches. You got to take it, No. The yoke of Christ is kind. The burden is light. And it's meekness and lowly in heart. You'll get rest. And rest is a good thing when you labor. You know? You can have peace at high speed.
Rest.
Rest. All right. Go to your handout, Philippians 4. The secret to living restfully is embodied within Christ's finished work. You don't allow the burdens of life to allow you to live craving just for the return. If all you're doing is going every day, all day long, I wish Christ would come back. Christ needs to come back today. Every now and then, that's fine. But if that's all you're doing, you're living a miserable life, man. Enjoy some of this, you know? You only get one shot at it. You know, it's not like what the Hindus teach. You come back as a bird or a leprechaun or something else. It didn't work that way.
I was really hoping to come back
mm-hmm.
as a cat so I could just, like...
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Eat some kibble, take a nap in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. Be the holiest of holies and come back as a cow that craps on yourself.
Well, that's the point.
That lives in India.
Let's go to Philippians 4. I've seen them all over India. So is Julie. And their existence is pretty tame. They just kind of wander around. Anyway.
I'd be okay with that, I think.
Got to find food, though. And you're in the city. But that's okay. They don't have garbage people. You just throw your garbage
right.
out into the... And they eat it. Them and the wild pigs that are around. But we digress. We go to Philippians 4. So... If all you're doing is being miserable in this life, stop it. Enjoy this life a little bit. You know, you got rest. You got a knowledge of Christ's finished work. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious or distracted about anything. About anything. But in everything, because we're talking about anything, so in everything, by prayer, there's a novel idea. In prayer requests with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. Remember, if we delight ourselves in Him, He'll give us our delights. So, if we let our prayer and prayer requests with thanksgiving, our petitions go to God, we don't have to have anxiety. And verse 7 tells us what another result will be. And the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your hearts and your thinking in Christ Jesus. Yes, we need to protect our hearts. And God's peace will protect our hearts when we, not through anxiety, but by prayer and prayer requests, make things known. So, verse 8, henceforth, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are on Judge Judy, whatever things are on pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, consider these things. No, let your mind be distracted and be, you know, confused and that, you know, no. Consider things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, good report. Consider those. Consider these things which you have also learned and received and heard and saw in me. Practice these things. Live these. Consider it. And then practice these things. And the result? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will protect your hearts. The God of peace will protect your thinking. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your thinking about me has flourished again, about which you were thinking, but you lacked an opportune time. I am not speaking in respect of lack, for I have learned, been there, done that, to be self-sufficient in whatever state I am. I know how to be humbled. I also know how to be abundant. In any and everything, I have been initiated not only to be satisfied with food, but also to be hungry, not only to the abundant, but also to lack. I prevail in all things by Him who empowers me. But just keep walking. Keep moving. Go to Colossians 1. We're almost done. Colossians 1. We made the choice of Jesus being Lord, of God raising Him from the dead. We made the right choice. We endeavor to keep Him as Lord in our life. We endeavor to not to be anxious and distracted by the world. Colossians 1:10 says, that you might walk worthy. So what do? We walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we increase our knowledge about God, we walk worthy of what we've been called to do, and we have great fruit in the works that we do, because we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing His work. And we close in Ecclesiastes 9, which I'm sure you figured I'd go to. Ecclesiastes 9, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So, we'll start in verse 4. 9:4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead, they don't know anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that's done under the sun. So because when you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't praise God from the grave. Then what should be our mindset? Oh, woe is me, oh miserable life. No, enjoy the day. Enjoy God. You know? Go thy way, verse 7. Eat thy bread with joy. Drink thy jello shots with a merry heart. For God now accepts thy works. This is how you can get some rewards. Let your garments be always orange and blue. No, wait a minute. Let your garments be always white. That's indicative of purity, not team colors. And let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of this vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou taketh under the sun. And last verse, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with gusto. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going to end up if Christ doesn't come back for you today. So, what an attitude. Enjoy life. Enjoy it. You only get like one shot. You only get one shot at enjoying the day, no matter how it turns out. Enjoy life while you come, because if the Lord tarries another 100 years,
we'll be gone.
That's right. It'll all be over with. But Christ is coming back sometime. So enjoy the day that we have today and expect great and wonderful things. So, Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and that we can enjoy the day worshiping you, and you allow us to do it via the Spirit by speaking in tongues. What a great day to be able to live for you and to do your will in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.